Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Wednesday evening, January 25th, a little after 9:30 p.m. Eastern. That means it's time for Under the Radar,
Woohoo!
our favorite podcast here, where we focus in on all the conferences that are not power conferences and not multi-bid leagues. What that means is we do not hit the five power conferences. Those are Griggs,
Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, ACC.
and we don't hit on the other. On four of the conferences that we consider to be regular multi-bid leagues, the American, the Big East, the Mountain West, and the West Coast Conference. Did I get those?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Every other conference in the nation is on this show,
Including the A10.
including the A10 for this year, where they were relegated down off of the other show. Those other conferences, we do pay attention to them. We do them Monday night. This is
Yeah.
Wednesday night.
And as
I'm
we will
Chad.
get to later tonight, we will also be covering Chicago State and Hartford.
Yes, we will. We'll get
Big
all
week
those
for
in.
both those teams. How about that?
Two teams we will not cover. Our teams are the top 25. We'll cover the rest of their conferences, but Florida Atlantic, College of Charleston both remain in the top 25. We covered them Monday night as well. But I'm Chad Sherwood. That's David Griggs. Down below, we got John Slica. And from bracketeer.org, we got Rocco Miller, who was at three or four games tonight. He's got a couple more to go to after the show, so we've got to squeeze this podcast in real quick, right, Rocco?
Yeah, Chicago State's actually in town tonight, so I better get over there. Yeah.
Okay, let's go ahead and pull up the. Actually, what we do is we'd like to go through the conferences in alphabetical order, but we do like to start with a feature conference that I pick about 5 to 10 minutes before we go on the show. Quite honestly, I kind of look at some of the upcoming schedules and like to pick one out. And I decided to so we could go to one that's near and dear to your heart, I think, here this week. A conference we've kind of glossed over a lot because this season, because of quite frankly how bad some of the metrics are. Let's do a little Horizon League tonight, though, with the incredibly surprising Milwaukee Panthers remaining at least tied for first place here. But Sleeka, this is kind of in your backyard. So your thoughts on what we've seen out of the league so far?
Well, for most of the year, when we've covered the horizon, we've been covering Antoine Davis and his flight up the scoring chart right here. But the last time we saw Milwaukee close to the conference championship, this was actually LaVal Jordan's single season when he coached the Panthers, but they ended up losing in the conference title game and ended up not making any other postseason afterwards right here. This is also a season where one of the usual suspects in Wright State probably not going to make the final four unless they score an upset or two in the conference tournament. NKU is still among the usual suspects, but also keep an eye on Youngstown State, who has been crashing the party and is in a three-way tie for third at 7-3.
Yeah, I think.
And I was just saying, Rocco, I think really this has been an incredible story out of Milwaukee. This team has been so bad for the last several years and picked up another 2-0 week, including beating that Youngstown team on Saturday.
Yeah, Milwaukee's been a great story. You know, it's Bart Lundy's first year. He came up from Division Two. There's a couple examples of coaches coming up from Division Two this year as first-year coaches and having great success. This is one of them. And you know, from everything I had heard about Lundy, I don't follow Division Two as closely. Everybody in the business seems to rave about him, and clearly, you know, working wonders. 14-6 overall. 8-2, of course, in the Horizon, and playing really great, effective field goal percentage defense, 3-point percentage defense, a lot of different zone schemes, and he's doing it with, you know, without an abundance of talent. You know, BJ Freeman's a really good player. A lot of the other guys are role players, questionable in terms of, you know, D1 talent, and he's making the most of it. And they're playing really, really well as a unit. Very impressed with this team, and I think they're only going to get stronger.
Another story in with the feature conference, we spend about another extra minute or two. But Youngstown State, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, or I'm sorry, just Milwaukee, it has been really bad probably ever since they started branding themselves as Milwaukee and not Wisconsin, Milwaukee. So that's a story too. But they were good once. Youngstown State, I don't think ever was like ever. And yeah, they lost over the weekend, and that was a big pivotal game. And you might notice the log jam here. That's kind of important because does the Horizon still do the ladder, Chad?
Well, the top four seeds will get a. It's not a ladder, but the top
Okay.
four
Oh, it's just
seeds.
a straight up
The top,
bracket.
yeah, the, it's
Okay.
a straight up bracket, but there is
It's not as important as I thought.
campus sites until the semifinals of the championship will be in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so to try and get a home game in that quarterfinal round, you got five teams kind of going for it. How crazy would it be? I never even thought Youngstown would get to that level where they're in a position to host a game.
A little Youngstown history. Never won a conference regular season or tournament title. Never been in the NCAA tournament. Never been in the NIT even. They have one appearance in the CIT, and last year they were in the TBC, which was the basketball championship, whatever it was that.
Basketball Classic,
which yeah. We don't even believe is going to be back again this year, at least from everything we're hearing. So, two postseason appearances ever, none of them in a major, not even in the NIT level. So,
yeah.
Two other quick stories I want to hit in this conference. Number one, a little news out of Green Bay, where Will Ryan was fired earlier this week. Freddie Owens in his interim head coach. They are sitting there at 360 in the net, so you can kind of understand it. Not even the worst team in the conference in that with IUPUI right behind them. And of course, we've been following the Antoine Davis Detroit Mercy story here. He's at 3,288 career points right now. Pistol Pete, 3,667. We're a little over around 30, with 10 games left plus the conference tournament. He's probably got to average close to 40 points a game or have a couple of huge games and get maybe 35 a game. It's possible, especially if they can maybe get a couple games of the conference tournament instead of just one. But I don't think he's going to quite get there, but it's possible.
They go to the Elite Eight, but yeah.
Sorry, Rocco.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest records guru, but I thought it was really interesting. He was interviewed on the radio just yesterday, which I thought was great. It's amazing to hear an under-the-radar player get interviewed on national radio like he was. But he actually pointed out that last year they had a two-week shutdown that cost him four games. And then, of course, the year before they lost, I think, 9 or 10 games due to the shortened season. So, yeah, obviously it's some bad luck with COVID, but obviously some good luck with getting a COVID year. But anyway, interesting to think about that he could have maybe had 12 more games, which probably would have put him above Pete no matter where he lands this year.
Yeah, they didn't play as many games when Pete played.
I throw this out there. Pete only played 83 career games. Antoine's already at 132 right now.
Yeah,
And while people are going to say there's an asterisk next to him because of the extra year, there are guys on the top 10 that played more than 132. Doug McDermott played 145 career games, and he's up there in the top 10. So it's, it's not like his 132 is way more than anybody else in this ballpark ever had.
Also keep in mind, in Pistol area, Pete.
Pistol
Pete played in an era where freshmen weren't eligible yet.
Right.
Well, that's why I only had the 83. Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yep.
Upcoming schedule. Another reason I want to highlight the Horizon League is huge game cut up on Saturday. Assuming that Milwaukee and Northern Kentucky both win their Thursday night games, and Milwaukee's got a test on the road at Wright State. NKU not a test at home against Green Bay, but they are going head to head Saturday at NKU. So. Could be a first place showdown. Could be the end of the radar game of the day, Mr. Stalica.
Yeah, and Rocco will be there.
And I think the question is, do we send Stalica there?
Yeah.
You should go, Stalica. Absolutely.
Yeah. Get over there, Stalica.
Let's jump to the rest of the conferences. Let's start things off in the America East, where I was just discussing this before the show started on the strength of Vermont's blowout win at Binghamton and Lowell's crazy upset loss at Maine this evening. The Vermont Catamounts are suddenly where we thought they would be at the start of the season and where they weren't really close to all year. There they are, though, Griggs. Vermont in first place after tonight's craziness in the conference.
Does this mean all is right with the world again, or that it's just a crazy, crazy, crazy world? I don't know. I can't believe that Lowell lost the way that they did. Kind of a surprise there to Maine. Maine with 8 wins, 3 of them are against pretty good teams. So kind of crazy to think that's.
And this was right after on Sunday, Lowell went and pounded Bryant, who we thought was one of the best teams of the conference. They won the team that won Syracuse. So this is, these standings are a little bit strange in that effect, but we have. I guess normalcy, because Vermont is in first place in the America East, which is where they always are. Go ahead, Rocco.
I just have to disagree on the surprise part. I mean, because they're 5-3 now in the league, but every time they've gone on the road, they've played a 300-plus team. It started with NJIT. They beat them by three. They went to Albany. Unbelievable. Got killed by 26. I'm talking about UMass Lowell. Okay. Then they go to Binghamton, who's also in the 300s, lose by one. And now they go to Maine, who's in the 300s, and they lose again. So I feel like the road pattern has been there. They've been a home court hero in the league. Obviously, they won at UMass earlier in the year, which got them on the map. But I think this road problem has really showed its ugly head here. In
the play. That's a really good point, Rocco. And it's an important one, too, because of the way this conference format works.
Exactly.
It's campus sites. So if they're not up in the standings, they're going on the road in the conference tournament.
That's a big. It's clearly a big problem right now.
Yeah.
Right. And they've got to go to New Hampshire on Saturday. New Hampshire's even better than a top 300 plus team. They're 259. Yeah. That could be in a lot of trouble there. But then they get to host Albany, which they'll probably crush next week. Vermont just one game coming up this weekend. They're hosting UMBC, another team that's actually been okay. But I think UMBC had a surprise loss tonight as well, did they not?
They lost to NJIT.
They lost to NJIT tonight. So.
Yeah, road woes for the Retrievers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stalica, over in the Ace Sun Conference, we've got a heck of a battle here with Liberty trying to assert themselves, but there you got Kennesaw, Eastern Kentucky, and Stetson still all hanging around them.
Well, look at the week that Kennesaw State had right here. First, they win at Stetson by a point, and then they win at Florida Gulf Coast. That's two monster wins in this conference right here. I'm not sure if Liberty's already matched that here. Now, granted, they already pulled off the roadie in Jacksonville and North Florida. So not to be confused, the Jacksonville State double.
That's just a big crosstown rival.
We love the Jacksonville. No, actually, Jacksonville, North Florida is a big rivalry in this conference.
It is.
But this Liberty team.
Rocco, pull up Liberty, like, Chad.
Yeah, okay, I will. Rocco, I was going to ask you, I like the way this Liberty team is playing here. And this could be become a dangerous team when we get to the postseason. Could it not?
Oh, certainly, yeah. I mean, Darius McGee's still there. I mean, he's a 3-4 times over, you know, all conference. I think A-Sun Player of the Year the last year or two in a row. And they, you know, they bring all sorts of weaponry in terms of their shooting and their efficient offense. They're number 15 in the country in effective field goal percentage. So it's an offensive attack that most of the A-Sun defenses aren't prepared to face. But I think the biggest difference in the recent weeks is they've really fixed their defense. They've got the top defense in the A-Sun. They're forcing the most turnovers. They're keeping their opponents away from creating second chances. That's a attack the glass situation. And so they're getting it done on all the important factors of the game. And that's why you're seeing them, you know, extend leads out to double digits and cruise into victory. They've also had a little bit of an easier schedule lately. So I'm very curious to see how it goes this week. They will be at home, but they get Stetson and Florida Gulf Coast, two teams that do have some talent.
But right. Yeah. If you're interestingly, they only play Kennesaw once. It's not till February 16th. It's at Kennesaw. Yep. So that might be the game of the season in the conference right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Just another quick point on Liberty. I think part of us were thinking maybe they could make a run at the bubble coming into the year. And when they didn't do that, I think, well, that was a disappointment. And yeah, they're nowhere near the bubble. But when you look at really, with the exception of the loss at Eastern Kentucky, the only games they've lost have been to teams that are probably way north of what the A-Sun typical team is. At Alabama, pretty good. Northwestern's pretty good. Oral Roberts, really good. We're going to get to them later. We're going to look at them closely later. And Southern Miss, pretty good. Like,
And Bradley's a nice one. Bradley's a pretty good team, too. So
Got Bradley shorthanded, but that still counts as a good win.
Wins win.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think some of the reasons they were overlooked in non-league is the way they lost. You know, Alabama not competitive. Northwestern made them, you know, basically took away their offense, which was kind of weird to see for Liberty. Losing at home to Southern Miss smelled really awful at the time, but now
it
Southern
did.
Miss is obviously very good.
Right. So, and I don't think Northwestern Oral Roberts, but we didn't realize how good those teams were yet, and we got to move on.
We got to move on. We can't make every conference our feature conference here, guys. There's the upcoming schedule of the conference. And let's jump over to the newest addition to Under the Radar. It is the Atlantic 10 Conference, where VCU is really starting to put their foot down here as the top team of the conference, while Dayton continues to implode with another loss tonight. But this VCU team, I got to pull up their profile here too, because I don't know that that they can get an at-large bid, but it's not beyond the realm of possibility, especially if they can pretty much dominate the rest of the schedule and a couple hot top 100 games left here. Rocco, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think they do have a little bit to work with. They've got the Pittsburgh win on a neutral court. I think that was Barclays Center. And then I think, obviously, road Dayton is still pretty nice in the net, even though Dayton's not a tournament team inside the bubble. Very tough place to win. They might actually be the only team that's won there on the in their building. So that's a David Griggs stat of the day.
It is.
But they've got the road St. Louis chance. So if they get the road St. Louis and the home St. Louis, that would look great. If they take care of Dayton at home, that obviously they would sweep the next two, at least power ranking wise, strongest teams in the league. And then obviously some other opportunities on the road at squirrely places like George Washington, St. Joe's, and Davidson that they'll need to take care of. But yeah, I think the key there, Chad, is when you get to the end, and if you do have a team with that many wins, 25, 26 wins, and you're comparing them to, you know, eighth place team in the Big 12 or eighth place team in the Big 10, you know, I think the tendency for a lot of committee members might be to just take a team with that much of a winning pedigree, especially a team that's only lost once since December 7th.
Yeah, they really, and I just think they look good on the court. They, yeah, the way they won at Richmond on Friday night.
And they've gone through injuries in the non-league.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. We're talking A10, and I guess my DoorDash is here.
Somebody tell this story for those listening and not watching.
This was from tonight's Duquesne Loyola game. This is an actual picture of the game.
This is not
tonight.
A joke.
This is not a Photoshop. This is a guy making a McDonald's delivery during the game and walking out on the court to do so.
And clearly that was not the official that ordered the McChicken sandwich. It would appear.
I don't know. He's holding his hand up like maybe, hey, you know, hold off. I'll wait for this play to eat.
The ball is in play and he just walks.
So this is what the A-10 has become beyond VCU, unfortunately.
I guess he's not a basketball fan or has no common sense at all.
Wanted to highlight Fordham's three-game winning streak on their road trip, but sorry, they got supplanted by DoorDash.
Yes, by DoorDash.
Okay, here's the upcoming schedule. The two games, key games are the VCU host of the Bonnies and the VCU at Davidson on Tuesday. But let's try to keep things rolling here over to the Big Sky. Stalika, Eastern Washington continues to win with a sweep of the No-Koiwu and the No-Aiwu Cups this week.
That is the No-Aziwu, if you go by your local abbreviations.
Oh, God.
My bad.
Yes.
But what about this Eastern Washington team? Yeah, we keep talking about them.
Of course, now they're going to get a two-game edge over Montana State, who was the preseason favorite right here. Now, granted, the Bobcats did get a win at Montana right here, but you also look at Eastern Washington. Now they get to host Idaho State and Weber State, so should be a decent chance for the Eagles to head to 10-0 now.
You know, Weber State's been playing a little better as of late, though, so I wouldn't put that Saturday game into ink quite yet. You know, I really like the way this Eastern Washington team is playing. And they've been one of the surprises, I think.
Yeah, they
all the under-the-radar conferences. Heading into the season, they were, you know, I thought they'd be okay, but I didn't think they'd be this good in league play.
I didn't either. I really didn't.
keeping things rolling along here, with the Big South Conference. Rocco, UNC Asheville escaped in overtime against Presbyterian tonight, so they remain half game up over Longwood, who had the day off.
Yeah, I mean, Asheville's also got the win over Longwood as well for tiebreaker scenarios. I do think they'll play again. But Drew Pember, of course, the big story tonight, best player in the Big South. Did his we'll talk about the Mac a little later, but he did his best in Monty Bates' impression. 27 points at halftime on 7 3-pointers. I mean, unbelievable. I didn't see what he finished with, but obviously just a tremendous talent. He went for 46 in their opening night win over UCF, for example. He had 48 tonight. I just looked it up. So wow. The guy's unbelievable. 8 3-pointers on 10 attempts, shot 80% from three, just lights out. Presbyterian needs to work on their defense. Good for Presby taking it to overtime.
Presby is is 342 net, the worst team in the conference. The fact that that game went overtime, at Asheville, nonetheless, was a shock. But Asheville found a way to win.
Yeah, and you look at Asheville's wins, they never really blow anybody out. I'm looking at all their wins against D1 competition. They haven't beaten anybody by more than 10. So they love to play close games. It's kind of wild. But they're doing it successfully, 8-1 now in the Big South.
Yeah. And here's the upcoming games coming up. This actually, Longwood's playing tomorrow. They're at Radford trying to, which is a tough test, actually, to try to keep pace. Asheville's at Campbell. And then next week, next Wednesday night, it is round two of one of our favorite rivalries on Hoops HD.
Yes.
It's the Winwood Cup.
Oh, it's the greatest sporting event of the year.
Nothing will beat last year when that was the Big South Tournament Championship game.
Yes,
I don't think it's looking that way. Winthrop definitely down a bit this season, though. But Griggs, how about the Big West Conference?
God, I just love this league. Santa Barbara, a little bit of a surprise, dropping a game. I think it was last week, but still looking really good. I still think that they're one of the better teams in the conference. The Eaters are hot and cold, and when they're hot, they're really hot. You know, they have some pretty good wins out of conference, but they've also lost some games that make you think that kind of had you scratching your head. I know Santa Barbara, their strength of schedule could have been better. 348, you know, it could have been a little bit better, 338, 328, or even 228. But I like how they've been playing in conference. They've won some tough road games in league play. I don't think there's quite enough to get them all the way inside the bubble, even if they went out, but it would be an interesting case.
No, but I think that I don't know if they can also with these four teams at the top here, not just Santa Barbara, Irvine, but Riverside and Hawaii as well. You know, it's fascinating, and we've got it coming up this. You know, Hawaii is going to be hosting Santa Barbara here tomorrow night out in the island, so that is a game definitely worth circling. Where Irvine, what are they doing? They're at Cal State Fullerton, and hosting Northridge.
That's a tough game too.
Yeah.
Now, before we move on, there is one game we have to highlight from last Saturday, and that was UC Davis and Cal Poly. This was a game that Cal Poly led by 14 points with about 5 minutes to go. And yeah, that's Zach texting me right now, trying to remind us that
that your DoorDash is here.
Also reminding us that UC Davis finished the game on a 16-0 run to mount the comeback.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate. Involving teams towards the bottom here, but I think we're in line for a real good conference tournament where we get to Vegas here this year as well. All four of these teams, especially if all four can make it through to the quarter to the semifinals, could be a ton of fun.
A California based conference plus Hawaii taking the tournament to Vegas. Love it.
Yeah. And I honestly think, Chad, Davis, Long Beach, and Fullerton are talented enough to mess with that top four for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's why I think there's a big if there in that. But again, yeah. I think that those top four are all. I don't know that Davis, Long Beach, or Fullerton scare me in the NCAA tournament. I think any of those top four would if I'm a power conference team. I got them in a 5-12 or a 4-13 game.
Agreed. Especially Santa Barbara. They've got they have power five players. So yeah.
Stalica, we're not talking about that first place team. They are inside the bubble. They are inside the bubble. They're not under the radar. But the rest of the Colonial, is there anything worth discussing at this point?
Well, we're starting to lose a little bit of steam with UNC Wilmington having a couple of losses on top of the Charleston game. But Towson, a team that we had kind of given up on, they're starting to creep back in here. Granted, they had one of the easier weeks with NCANT and Elon on the road.
And only 4 points against an Elon team that does not have a D1 win yet this year.
But Drexel, we have not discussed that much, and they're now into a three-way tie for second after getting the Delaware and the Hampton wins.
Right, and you know, I think that what we're looking at here is a battle for second place, and maybe it is with these three teams. The other story, I guess, to continue watching here is, can Elon get a D1 win? Because this is, they only have one game against Monmouth. It's coming up February 16th at Monmouth. So it's going to be a road game there.
I think Elon's only going to get better because Ryan Saunders' first year, he's got all new players. You can tell they're making strides. You know, most nights, obviously the Towson game, they came close to winning. They've come close to beating some other teams, and so it's only a matter of if, not when, in my opinion. With them, yeah. I think Hampton and Monmouth, they have more tenured coaches that are maybe on the way out. Hopefully not for King Rice, but little less expectations for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean,
King Rice. As much as I enjoyed going to the Hawk's Nest with Chad 1 year, I'm not going to be able to do that again for the Elon.
Yeah, but I was like, King Rice was a guy who was on shortlist for some power conference jobs at one point, and now he's
right.
Yeah,
and
they were great last year. I mean, it was just
they
last
were.
Year
they were really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, bit of shame to see this.
No players this year. Just no players. Yeah.
CUSA, Griggs, again, ignoring that first place team, the rest of the conference here. And, you know, North Texas was a team we've been talking up a lot. And here they go, and they lose a home game to Rice, who suddenly showing a lot of life in this league.
Rice is showing a lot of life. I don't think that they got it in them to catch Florida Atlantic. I don't think anybody does. But that was no small thing, going to North Texas and winning. That was really impressive because North Texas's only other losses in conference are to Florida Atlantic, who's ranked in the top 25. Middle Tennessee making some noise, too. One of the stories is how disappointing UAB has been, especially, well, at home and on the road, but other than that, they're doing fine.
Okay, I have a game that they don't play at home or on the road.
Yeah,
I guess they were a pretty good neutral court team this year. I don't even know if they did neutral court. The upcoming games here, though, interesting game coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night. Charlotte, who's also got a little bit of life this year, is at Rice. So two teams, you know, we're talking about, and then UAB at Rice on Saturday. So
yeah,
you know, this could be a chance for Rice to actually make put a couple more wins together and make a real serious run at second place in this league.
Since the golden days of Willis Wilson, Rice is back.
Rocco, over in the Ivy League, this is a conference where you know, I think it's Princeton's league now because Cornell slips up against Harvard. I don't know, though.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I've been really impressed with Cornell. I know they lost to Princeton, you know, a couple weeks ago, and obviously got snipped at Harvard on Saturday.
I could not believe that.
Yeah, I mean, Cornell just has a terrible defense, but the offense is electric. I mean, the splits on the Big Red are crazy. You got a top 21 offense in the country, but a 280th ranked defense. They go so fast, top 25 tempo team. They shoot the ball in 15.3 seconds or less each possession. I mean, it's a ton of fun to watch. They're the third best effective field goal percentage team in the country. So they just play a fun brand of basketball, I think. The Ivy League would be represented in such a different way if they were the representative in the tournament. But you can't argue with Princeton. I mean, Tovon is such a dominant player. I think he'll make it in the NBA. It's a balanced team. You know, I think they're the steadier ship here. But Cornell's a ton of fun. So I'm kind of slightly pulling for him.
Yeah.
Well, we could be back in a tie next week just because Princeton has a tough road test at Yale coming up on Saturday, while Cornell gets to host Brown this weekend. I'll tell you, though, this is really looking interesting for who's going to make that top four and make the
really
conference
is.
Tournament a lot more than any prior season we've seen since the Ivy League put the tournament in, I think.
Yeah, Dartmouth's come out of nowhere, Chad. And you know, you look at them as 3-3 and you think they're probably going to fade, but their three wins are Yale, Penn, and Harvard. It's like all three of those are good. And then Brown, Brown's really tough to beat at Brown. They've been killing it at home. So they have capable players. You know, they've knocked off some big schools earlier in the year, like Rhode Island. So we'll see if the Bears hang around. I would love to see the Bears get in. I feel like they always fall just short in like the last week.
And Penn has some talent there. I mean, I know they're a game behind that whole group, but they've got time to
Jordan Dingle.
Catch them.
Yeah. Yep. Dingle's the best point guard in the league, and they were my pick to win it before the season started. So, well, a lot at stake, a lot of capable teams.
Sleek, over in the Metro Atlantic, We've got Iona finally picks up a win, it seems.
This was against their old pals from Manhattan on the road right here.
And they barely got it.
But I think the story was actually Siena suffering the home loss against Fairfield to drop back into a tie, at least in the loss column with Iona.
Yeah, this was a Fairfield team that's pretty middling in the conference right here. And they do get the win at home against Mount St. Mary's by 15, but granted, a lot of people have been doing that this year.
You mean Siena? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the upcoming schedule here in the Metro Atlantic, the big game is Friday night. Rocco, you'll be there, right? Iona at Siena?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there in spirit no matter what.
Yeah.
Hopefully my body makes it there too. But otherwise, it's a game to watch. I mean, it's going to be awesome for the league to get that on Friday night. You know, if it was on Saturday, it would be buried in a sea of other games. This is like huge for the Metro Atlantic to get their two premier teams. Although Quinnipiac is also very strong this year, and they'll play Iona Sunday, which is another good day to spotlight the league. Fun week for Iona, fun week for the MAC, because I think both those games should get a lot of viewers.
Yeah, and that Friday night time slot, the Metro Atlantic's had that for a long time, and I love that.
It's one of those weeks where you wish Jimmy Patsos were still at Siena, because Patsos and Rick Pitino would be entertaining post-game.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Patsos, by the way, was at Fairleigh Dickinson practice yesterday, so we can talk about that when we get to the Northeast Conference.
Yeah.
That Iona Siena game is the ESPNU game, 7 p.m. Friday night, by the way, national TV.
Get there if you have access to a train, Chad.
Yeah.
Getting up to Siena, that's about a five-hour drive for me. That's a little rough for me. It's time for the MAC, though, and Stalika, let me go back to you, where we saw the surprise of the season last night, although not too much of a surprise, because we just didn't think that there's any way you can go undefeated in the MAC regular season, and it did not happen. Kent State would look so good, goes and loses at Northern Illinois last night.
There were probably several other games that would scream trap game. You wouldn't have thought it was Northern Illinois unless they were looking at the Huskies' home floor right here. Yeah. Now, Akron, on the other hand, suddenly significant that they get the road win against Western Michigan and also hold off a challenge against Miami. So the Red Hawks have actually been a little scrappy on the road. Well, actually been scrappy, period, against both Akron and Kent State, but not saying much else for them this year.
The other story in this league, though, Rocco, was that Bonnie Bates last night, and even just this past week. Is this insane what he's doing for Eastern for the last place team 332 net Eastern Michigan Eagles?
Historically and all that, it's insane. I think Imani Bates is that talented. Like, you think back to when he was 15, 16 years old and the number one player in AAU basketball, and he's suddenly playing for a MAC team where they have no other real threats on the court, and he's just doing everything himself. He, like, at the end of the first half, he scored, I think, 29 straight points with no other player scoring out of his 43 later. And I think what I've noticed about this season is when they play teams that are less interesting, he just kind of doesn't show up and they lose. He gets up for these big games. He went off against South Carolina, which is a Power Five opportunity. He also you go back and look at his game by game. His biggest games are when they play their toughest opponents. I think he's just doing that. He's getting extra motivated because he wants to show NBA scouts he can do this against any level of competition. I just think he honestly gets bored playing these other teams in the league that aren't as sexy.
The games to circle this week involve both Kent State and Akron. They're not playing each other, though. Kent State's going to be hosting Buffalo and Central Michigan. So a couple home games to bounce back from the loss, while Akron's going to be hosting Ohio and they're going to be at Buffalo. Also keep an eye on Toledo. They're hosting Bowling Green in that Miami of Ohio. So top teams not playing each other this week, at least those top three.
Yeah.
Although Tuesday night does scream trap game for the Rockets right here for the reasons we mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Griggs, it is MEAC time.
Oh,
and
boy.
How about Norfolk State goes down again to Morgan State? And now we have a three-way tie that in the first place. It doesn't even involve Norfolk State, but instead it involves Eastern Shore, Morgan State, and Howard. And there's a whole other story here that Delaware State gets their first D1 win Monday night at South Carolina State. So, go ahead.
Yeah, that game had centenary implications. Essentially, this league is playing out exactly the way I'd been saying it would all year long.
What, a five-team battle for first?
Yeah, five-team battle for first. And Norfolk not – well, Norfolk being one of the five teams. But, no, I couldn't believe – like – when they lost the first time, it was just very head scratching. And then that was a really good showing at Morgan State. They had a really good crowd at that game. You all had liked Morgan State, and I think you all had liked Howard too. You were right. That was I liked what I saw that night. That was something by Morgan State. Yeah. It'll come down to the conference tournament, of course, but, no, I don't, I mean, again, I thought Norfolk would run over this league. I thought they would go for the double and run the table all the way through to the conference tournament, to winning the conference tournament. And that's not going to happen. And now I'm questioning, are they even the favorites to win it?
I think you got to get up to that one seed, first of all, be a favorite to win it. But the other thing here is the suddenly red hot Rocco Maryland Eastern Shore Hawks out of nowhere.
That is incredible.
Great story though this season so far in the MEAC.
Yeah, the rebuild there has been incredible. One of the drubs of D1 for years. And the game last night, I mean, I don't know if you saw the ending. I just posted the link in our internal chat, but they had the ball with just like 2 seconds to go, full length of the court. The Eagle player catches the ball like this, like a one-handed grab in football backhand, and somehow manages to keep the defender away from him, takes it straight to the hoop to lay it in at the buzzer to upset a very strong NC Central team on the road, 59-58. Incredible moment for the Maryland Eastern Shore program. I think it had been several years since they beat NC Central. It was a huge deal. I ended up going down a rabbit hole last night and watching all their local news. Everybody's excited. They've certainly upgraded the talent. Jason Croft is doing an incredible job coaching his team, and should be in any of these, low major coach of the year conversations. And I think they're here to stay. They played really well in the non-league. They beat Temple in the non-league. So it's a good team. I mean, at this point, they're just a good team.
Yeah, and they'll be hosting Coppin State. If they can get by that, we could have a first place showdown at Morgan State on Monday, which I don't think I would have ever thought that would be a first place showdown in this conference heading into the year, at least. Let's jump over to the Missouri Valley Conference, though. And Griggs, let me go to you here. I'm just going to do a quick score update here to get a couple more scores on the screen, notably because I want to put that Belmont win tonight on the screen here as well. So first place tied out between Southern Illinois and Belmont. Believe it or not.
I don't. Southern Illinois playing really well. Belmont, I had kind of just written them off as, well, this just isn't their year. But here they are at the top of the league. Winners of 9 of their last 11, 9-2 overall. The teams that I was really excited about, I still think Drake has a high ceiling and it's going to be dangerous in the conference tournament, but they're nowhere near that. That's their only way in. Whereas, I thought that they could have been a bubble team. I think we all kind of thought that before the year starts, but kind of a big surprise. This is not who we were talking about a few weeks ago, Belmont and Southern Illinois. And the teams we were talking about, 7th and 8th place.
Slika, here's a Southern Illinois team and Belmont as well. I don't think we've got anything close to the bubble here, but Southern Illinois had that win at Oklahoma State earlier. I think it was an opening day of the season, or very close to opening day of the season. And, they now here they are in first place.
Always nice to have a tier one win as far as their ace in the hole right here, and also beating Murray State, kind of an area right, actually sweeping Murray State, is also going to be kind of a nice feather to have in the Salukis cap right here.
Yeah, and on Belmont side, the sweep of Bradley, who's got has the best net in the conference, is it's kind of making me say, hey, this Belmont team may actually be able to win this conference this year.
Yeah.
Which I did not think they would be in there. But here's the upcoming schedule in the league. Southern Illinois is going to be at Illinois State and at Bradley, a big one coming up Wednesday night.
Yeah, that one at Bradley is going to be fun.
Belmont with a really interesting week as well, hosting Drake, who's still got a lot of talent. And then they've got a little OVC battle at Murray State.
Yeah, that series has some heat to it. It didn't kind of, it was developing in recent years in the Ohio Valley, and it has carried over. If you watch that first Belmont-Murray game, the fans remember.
Yeah, Murray is a very difficult team to beat at Murray as well, and that's carried over to the Valley as well. So I almost expect Belmont to be a somewhat of an underdog, despite them probably being a better team right now.
Wednesday night, also Northern Iowa and Drake. That's a nice little in-state rivalry there as well. But Rocco, over in the Northeast Conference, we now have a new first-place team as Fairleigh Dickinson has, with a pair of losses to Sacred Heart Stonehill the past week, has fallen out. St. Francis PA, the Red Flash, up in first now.
Yeah, didn't they? Okay, that's coming up tomorrow. They will play each other at in TNEC tomorrow. So looking forward to that one. It's interesting. The Red Flash, this league obviously got gutted a little bit and, left with some of the traditional schools, but just all pretty down right now. I thought PA, they have a great home court advantage, St. Francis PA, that is, under Rob Krimmel, who's a respected coach there in the region. And he's made chicken salad out of chicken poop before. And I kind of depend on him. And I thought, one thing I didn't expect coming in was Landon Moore. And if you're not familiar, he's a true freshman. He's just been their best player, really. Came out of nowhere. And this is kind of one of the advantages of the high, powerful schools taking and focusing on the transfer portal. Even schools like the Valley fans are focusing on the transfer portal. You can find really good freshmen and get them to come to, like, the NEC now and play right away just to get the playing time. And that's exactly what St. Francis PA found in Landon. And it's paying them back in spades, even if he transfers out after this year. Off to a great start, 5-1. We've got a showdown at Fairleigh Dickinson, who in their own right mind is an incredible story. That's the other school I was thinking of, with a D2 coach in Tobin Anderson coming up to D1, bringing three of his starters with him from St. Thomas Aquinas in Florida. And just a tremendous story. Even in the games they've lost, they've been super competitive. And the fact that they're 12-10, 5-2 is unbelievable. I think they're picked last pretty universally in the league coming in.
The other game of note coming up is between the two last place teams, but it is Saturday. It is round two of the Battle of Brooklyn between NYU and SFBK. Hopefully people show up for this game, because the attendance was about 10 people at the first round, which was very disappointing for one of the great rivalries out there in college basketball.
Yeah.
Salika, over in the Ohio Valley Conference, we have 10 teams in the league, and all 10 are tied for first place, I believe, or just about. Have you ever seen a six-way tie for first? That is amazing.
We managed to get the six-way tie thanks to SEMO actually beating Tennessee Tech in overtime on Saturday. So that was one of the contributing factors right there. The other surprise was Morehead State, who had been kind of slumbering through the first half of the year. They finally get a big win at SIU Edwardsville. So that's another contributing factor into the six-way tie right here.
Yeah, this is absolutely amazing, though, Griggs. We have six teams. And quite honestly, I mean, if you look at the metrics, they say Edwardsville's a little bit better, but they've slipped up a couple times lately. So,
well, a couple times last week, they lost to
two home games.
Two home games to teams that they had, up until that point, looked to be entirely outperforming. So that is just almost stupefying to see them lose two games like that at home.
And if you want to see which game is going to be affecting the first place, you could just watch all of these here this week, I think. Not that you'd be watching good basketball, but you could be watching first teams that are battling for first place every single game in this conference, which is going to make it real interesting over the rest of the season here, because the OVC does use a ladder format for the conference tournament. You want to be the top two seeds. If not, you at least want to be seed third or fourth to at least get a single bye in the conference tournament.
Yeah, and Rocco's team not doing well.
Not so good for the little Rocco's.
Yeah,
and the arena got torn up for a couple weeks. So it's been a really bad year.
Yeah, you know, just sort of symbolic of how things are going in Little Rock.
It's brutal.
Rocco, Patriot League was almost going to be the feature conference. It was a real close call here, but Colgate, the Raiders, could continue to be one of the handful of teams that remain undefeated in conference play, but they may have somebody on their tails right now with this red-hot Lehigh team.
Yeah, 7 wins in a row for the Mountain Hawks, formerly the Engineers. And Lehigh is a team, you know, I didn't see much from them in non-league, but all of a sudden, you know, they're big rivals with Bucknell regionally. And that 7-game winning streak started with a road win at Bucknell, and I think it just really got these guys going.
I think Lafayette's probably a big rival.
Lafayette is their big rival. They're 17 miles apart.
I'm thinking about the McCollum years when they played Bucknell in the championship, I think 2 or 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Maybe those days are too far away now.
It's a classic Pennsylvania rivalries, Lehigh Lafayette, big football rivalry too. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the whole winning streak started with a road win there, a road win at Navy, and then from there, you know, they embarrassed American, who happened to be hot at the time, and now this team is just steamrolling. I'm looking forward to when they finally do get to play Colgate, because it hasn't happened in a long time. But they'll play at Colgate February 8th. You know, we'll see if the Mountain Hawks can stay hot, but they've handled all their business, and I think, you know, American's actually a solid team this year, one of the better years they've had in the last 5 to 10 years. And so keep your eye on the Eagles. But Colgate's built to last. Colgate's had a great program the last 5 years. Certainly the favorite still.
Yeah. And it's both Colgate and Lehigh have a pair of home games this week. So we have a good chance we'll be looking at 11-0 and 9-2 come next week at the same time. So we'll see what happens. Griggs, how about over in the SoCon, which is a conference that traditionally has been one of the ones we've highlighted as being a bubble-ish type of conference for its winner. Not this year, though.
Yeah, not this year. Samford suffering their first conference loss tonight in overtime to Furman.
Furman, yes.
Yeah, and Furman was a team, I think we really liked them coming into the year. Then we were kind of disappointed and wrote them off, but yet here they are again, very much within reach of first place and just playing really well and getting a big win tonight over a Samford team that had previously been unbeaten in conference. You might notice a slight drop off between Furman and then Wofford.
It's looking like a good three-team battle the rest of the way.
Yeah,
though,
but it is looking like a good three-team battle. And I still like Greensboro, the way that they've been playing. I know that they have the one loss, but I think that out of all of them, they're the ones that have impressed me the most. Samford, a really good story, though. This I think we liked them coming into the year. We were sort of disappointed with some of the things they did out of the league, but in league, they've been great, even though they lost tonight.
Yeah, and a huge game coming up on Sunday, Rocco. We got Furman at Greensboro, especially now that Samford has a loss.
Yeah, very huge. Three quality teams there at the top now, and Furman did their part to make it a logjam. But Greensboro has been extremely tough at home. I think one of their only home losses was actually against crosstown rivals, North Carolina A&T. But besides that, Greensboro has been tough at home. I know Greensboro plays the best defense in the league. So we have a real contrast in styles, because Furman is well known, of course, for their offensive attack. So when Furman has the ball, you know, can Greensboro get them to play in the half court? If they can, I like Greensboro's chances. If Furman gets some fast break points and out in transition, it's going to be a big problem for the Spartans. Furman's game plan will be to build a quick early lead. If Greensboro can sustain that, I like Greensboro's chances down the stretch if it's close. Yeah,
Greensboro won at Furman earlier this year, but Greensboro's two home losses to Samford and Towson. They actually lost at A&T that game, that crush.
Yeah, that one hurt.
That was a road game. Yeah. Okay. But, let's keep things rolling. Sleeka, Southland Conference time, where Texas A&M Corpus Christi is gone from first place. And we have a two-way tie now between Southeastern Louisiana and Nicholls State, believe it or not, after Corpus Christi with a disastrous week with losses at Lamar and Houston Christian.
Southeastern Louisiana was a team we did start paying a little bit of attention to during the non-conference year when they actually got a win in Wyoming, did somewhat respectably at Xavier before ending up losing that one. And here we are. They're now coming off wins against Texas A&M Commerce right here. And Nicholls also getting a couple wins to stay in a first place tie right here.
Yeah, a little quirk of the schedule. They played McNeese back to back, swept them those two games. McNeese, the last place team in this conference. this conference is now also looking wide open with, you know, with six teams, Commerce not being eligible, at least five teams really right there within a game of each other.
Yeah, just an observation, the Ohio Valley, the Southland, the Northeast Conference, all the teams that are destined for the first four, all wide open, all conferences.
Southland Conference, they've got Nichols at Corpus Christi coming up tomorrow night. That's a game to circle if you're a big Southland Conference fan. That's probably the game of the week, actually, in the conference.
Yeah.
Let's see here. How about, Griggs, how about the Southwestern Athletic Conference? A little SWAC time.
Yeah, also like kind of log jammed here, also potentially maybe on its way to, we got a five horse race to Dayton SWAC in it. I still think that Grambling is the team I have the soft spots for. I really like them. I know that they're kind of not quite, they're a game behind both Alcorn and Southern, but how great would it be if Grambling could win this league? They had the nice win at Mississippi Valley, which I guess that isn't that nice of a win, but any road win is
Mississippi Valley is
57. And then they followed it up with a win at Pine Bluff, who's better year than expected.
I'll steal one of your lines, Griggs, here. It's very different. Not many teams can win in Mississippi Valley, Mississippi Valley being amongst them.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yes, Southern did but suffer
two road wins. They won two road games. I like Grambling.
Southern had been undefeated in conference, suffered the loss to Pine Bluff over the weekend. So now we've got them that tie with Alcorn State. And like you said, I think we have a wide open league here as well. Although maybe we want to circle this game Saturday, Alcorn at Southern. Sleek, it's the under the radar game of the day, correct?
Well, I could also circle Jackson State and Grambling. That's also going to be a bronze medal game, shall we say, at this point. And
that's a big one.
Yeah. And then they'll switch opponents on Monday with the travel partner thing. So we'll have those.
But how much fun is this? Like, you know, one of the storylines is that Grambling and Southern, you know, the Bayou rivalry. I know it's more of a football one here. Battling it out in basketball. I never thought you'd ever see Grambling like this.
Rocco. How about something a little bit better here, the Summit League, and this Oral Roberts team that continues to win and look pretty good with a pair of road wins in North Dakota this week?
Yeah, I mean, Oral Roberts is they're built for a big run. I mean, every time I pull up their numbers, they're just getting stronger and stronger. They're top 10 in the country in effective field goal, top 10 in the country in ball security, top 10 in the country and not unforced errors with the ball. I mean, all the offensive categories, almost, they are like top 20 team. Obviously defense is the big concern. They're slowly getting better on that side of the ball. But a ton to love behind Max Aspas. Connor Vanover is a power five player, Isaac McBride, and they still have Carlos Jurgens. You know, he's a role player from the Sweet 16 run. And in this league, nobody's really at their level, quite honestly. And if they lose, it's just going to be a bad night. But even though the tournament is in the Pentagon, South Dakota, I'm still going to be really surprised if Oral doesn't win it. They're just so much better than everybody else.
They are. You forecast the committee, Rocco, and you're really good at guessing it. I know that this is categorical, and one of the rules when we do our committee is don't do anything for a categorical reason. Outright first place teams that were top 40 RPI and I guess now the net would almost always get in. They would get selected, and a lot of the times people would be surprised when they got selected. Oral Roberts is heading toward that category. I'm leading up to a question here. If Oral Roberts wins out, are they inside the bubble? Even if they lose in the conference tournament, I think they might be.
Yeah, I can see if they win out for sure. You know, maybe if the cut line has
enough to win out. They really are.
If the cut line has a 12 seed play in, I can see Oral getting an 11 above that. I think if it's a loss to anybody in the league, you're looking at the best case scenario right now, South Dakota State at 165.
Yeah.
I mean, that's brutal. I don't know if they're going to. But again, if it's South Dakota State in the finals, that's 165, but it's almost a road game, right? I think it would just be heavily debated. I just don't trust the committee after the way North Texas was dismissed last year. I have very little faith in the committee to look at these teams the way I think they should look at them. And
I mean, you can't. That's the bad thing. We've talked about South Dakota State when we talked about the Mountain West Conference as being the bad loss on Boise State's profile, a horrendously bad loss, and that's the best opponent that Oral Roberts has left. I think if they want to lose one more game, I'm going to give them a recommendation, I'd lose it in the regular season and win the conference tournament. That's what I would do if I was them.
Right. Yeah. And I think if they had for argument's sake, if they had another quad one win, if they would have just won one of those four on the right, I think they would have a little bit of breathing room, actually.
And not scheduled 4 non-D1 opponents.
Those are nothing burgers. So I don't think that hurts.
Well, they're nothing, but there were chances they could have scheduled somebody better.
Yeah, the committee's going to look at that.
Well, anyway. Here's the upcoming schedule. Oral Roberts hosting Denver at Omaha this week. And then South Dakota on Monday also as well. So 3 games in the next 7 days here. Salika, over in the Sun Belt Conference, we have another conference with a heck of a logjam here, as there are 2 games separating first and ninth place in the league now.
Well, Marshall, Southern Miss, and Louisiana, that's at least going to be the cream of the crop right here. And Marshall still hanging around thanks to their road wins against Texas State and Arkansas State. Louisiana was a team that, at least during Feast Week, it was showing signs that it could be competitive. And you look at their wins against Arkansas and Texas State. I'm surprised Texas State has fallen as far as they have, because in recent years, they've also been near the top of the conference right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a league though, that, you know, again, this is going to be a full 14 team conference tournament. It's a huge conference tournament. You know, get rid of the bottom four teams after the first day. But after that, Rocco, I think this conference tournament is going to be wide open. Maybe the top 8 teams here. I can't quite go Coastal Carolina if they lose to Chicago State at home this week, but a non-conference game. But other than that,
it's wide open. It is. It's fascinating because the conference tournament will take place again in Pensacola, Florida. And, Bob Marlin, the head coach at Louisiana, got his coaching start in Pensacola and has a lot of supporters and friends there. And for whatever reason, they've played well in this tournament with him. This team is very talented that he has this year. I had them in my honorable mention for the votes, sneak preview. So anyway, them, Southern Miss, Marshall. I think Marshall's got probably a tougher trip down to Pensacola than most. So we'll see how that plays in. James Madison is so schizophrenic. You never know. Like they could just get hot in the right week and win it, but I don't really see it yet. And I think, Georgia Southern's been much improved. They're actually not far from Pensacola. Troy is really well coached with Scott Cross, one of our favorite coaches. Those are the teams I'm looking at for that particular setting and the styles of play that they have.
When I look at teams 1 through 7, I'm just like, once we get the opening rounds over with and get this down to the quarters, this is going to be every minute of every game. We will be glued to this tournament. This is going to be incredible.
Interestingly enough, Marshall, Southern Miss, Louisiana, all having a pair of home games this week. Look at the schedule. Maybe the Georgia Southern.
Troy, Louisiana is a good game.
Troy, Louisiana, Georgia Southern, Louisiana on Saturday. Troy, South Alabama on Saturday. You want to circle that as well, just because it's a rivalry game there in state. As well.
And at all, one last thought. Old Dominion and Appalachian State are both scrappy enough to make noise. Either we're talking the rest of the year or in the conference tournament.
I would not be just shocked to see some 6-7 seed come out of
that conference. I wouldn't either. I really
would. We've seen it. We've seen it before, with especially Appalachian State that one year.
Yeah.
Griggs, let's finish. Last full conference will be the WAC here, where Seattle remains undefeated in first place after their wins over Tarleton and Southern Utah this week. And of course, they beat Utah Valley the week before.
Yeah. And you know that in the preseason, I was big on Seattle. I couldn't understand why at Media Day they were picked 5th or 6th, whatever it was. It made absolutely no sense. So naturally, I'm stepping back, even though they're in first place, I still really like the team that's just a half game behind them. I just a real talented team. I know they kind of barfed a little bit, but it's hard to go in the Grand Canyon and win. They did it. I just think that when you look at Utah Valley's profile and their body of work, this is a team that is dangerous. And if they get this auto bid, it's one of those teams that if they're on the 12 or 13 line and you're the four or the five and you're playing them, you look at the teams on the 9 and 10 line and are probably thinking, I'd rather be playing them instead of Utah Valley.
And let's not forget the team that's still sitting there down in fifth place, but that's Sam Houston team. They picked up a pair of wins, including their rivalry win over Stephen F. Austin this past week. So I think they're still in this conversation.
Very
seeing
much.
Southern Utah at SFA and even California Baptist up there. Grand Canyon, they've had some injury problems now, so I don't know that they're going to be able to hold up there or not. But this is going to be another conference. Could be a fairly fun conference tournament, quite honestly.
March is just getting more
And maybe one of the crazier stories Rocco, I know that there's been a lot of off-court stuff with New Mexico State, but 12 out of 13 teams make the WAC tournament this year, and the team that's left out could be New Mexico State of all teams.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts, man. Utah Tech shorthanded, and they lost to them by 13 on Saturday. I think the wheels have totally fallen off.
Oh,
Obviously,
God.
There's a psychological problem. They also got dealt a tough schedule to start. Most of those games, they've only played Southern Utah twice, SFA, Sam Houston, Seattle. So, but they did lose to UT Arlington and Utah Tech. So the bottom looks like it's falling out. I don't know what to expect going forward. I mean, Greg hires in his first year. He has a collection of JUCO and transfers.
To USA next year, right?
Yeah. Going to CUSA, it could be just a clean break if things don't get fixed quick. And everybody goes their separate ways, or maybe they'll rally. But right now, I have no idea what else to expect.
This is a fascinating week, Salika, for Seattle in first place there at Sam Houston and at Stephen F. Austin. And before they host Abilene Christian next Wednesday.
And if they slip up for whatever reason, also keep an eye on Utah Valley, who's going to a scrappy Southern Utah team that will also get to in the Beehive. And then Utah Valley hosts the New Mexico State team that we're been talking about.
Huge Beehive rivalry coming up Thursday night here. Huge, yes, absolutely. Yeah. Let's check in on both of our independents real quick. Chicago
big,
State and
big
Hartford.
Week.
How about a 2-1 week for our independents? Not only did Chicago State win that game at Hartford, but tonight, at Coastal Carolina, but tonight, Hartford takes down Stonehill for their second D1 win of the season in an impressive fashion against a Stonehill team that was not playing that bad basketball recently. So,
one decisively.
Hartford.
Big win for Howie. On the way down to D3.
Chicago State, its game is, let's see, where we are.
I don't want to jinx it, but we do have a Pac-12 special in progress.
They are up 6 late in the first half at Stanford as we record this.
Oh, my
so,
God.
Wow.
Oh.
And how about this again for the life of an independent? They were in Myrtle Beach Monday night. They're in Stanford tonight. Back home on Saturday. Then they're going down to the Citadel on Monday, just traveling everywhere. We got to get this team into a conference. Let's take a look into our mythical conferences here. Start with the Front Range, where Air Force amazingly remains in first place here.
Air Force, God, that is incredible. Head of the Front Range, and as you know, Chad, they get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament if they win the Front Range and win their conference tournament.
Right. Do we have any Front Range games this week? I do not believe that we do. Not on the schedule this week, at least. Yeah. Let's take a look at our newest conference. It is, of course, the Back Range. The
Back Range. We don't like this one as much.
There we go. Arizona's still in first place.
By virtue of beating Arizona State.
And I don't think we have any conference games here. But Northern Colorado, Northern Arizona. Is that a
conference
game?
No, wait.
No, Northern Colorado's not in this conference, are they? No, not quite.
No, there's a front range, range back
it's
range
a front
challenge.
Back.
Front
yeah,
the
back.
Front, yeah, the range wars. There
the
we
front
go.
And back challenge. The range wars. Beehive Conference. That's what we really want to take a look at. The Beehive Conference, because we have a big game coming up. Southern Utah is going to finally get their first conference game. BYU has the half game lead, but should Southern Utah knock out Utah Tech this? I'm sorry, Utah Valley on Thursday night. They will move into first place with a 1-0 record. So
best winning percentage.
Yep. Any other conference games? I don't see any others with a real quick glance there. So let's go to our under the radar top 10.
Yeah. Looking forward to this week's.
We had a lot of teams getting votes this week. A lot of honorable mentions. More mentions that we've had quite a while here. So let's quickly reveal all those honorable mentions. UC Santa Barbara
not getting in. Wow.
Did not get in. Sam Houston, St. Louis, Belmont, Cornell, Princeton, Irvine, Rice, Louisiana, Eastern Washington, all either getting votes or at least honorable mentions. We have to put a three-way tie for eighth place, our last three teams that did make it. Utah Valley.
Like them. North Texas still in the poll. And Seattle. Wow. All right.
So who's better between Seattle and Utah Valley? Well, we called it a tie.
I'm just glad that we resolved that issue.
At seventh place, we have Southern Illinois, the leader in the Missouri Valley Conference.
The Salukis moving up in the poll.
Sixth place, we have Liberty. We talked about them out of the A Sun there.
Yeah.
Fifth place, we have Southern Miss out of the Sun Belt, another Sun Belt team.
I guess that means that Marshall. Okay, I was looking for them.
And
Marshall,
the other one
climbing the pole.
Both Sun Belt teams sliding up the pole there. And third place, we have VCU.
Wow. Okay.
I'm surprised they didn't make first, but they came close. And we had a two-way tie for first here. So we have a double drum roll, I guess, here.
I'm a little surprised it's a tie.
Kent State and Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts,
yeah.
I would have had Oral Roberts number one.
Me too. But
Stalika, you ruined it. Stalika, the best things up. But,
well, that's what happens when Stalika doesn't vote last week.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go to final thoughts. Stalika, let me start with you.
As much as I hate to fact check our esteemed colleague, Rocco Miller, I had to do a lookup during our podcast right here. It is not the Samford Pentagon that's actually going to be hosting the Summit League tournament. It's actually going to be the Samford Special Events Center, I believe. The Pentagon is what they've hosted, I guess, certain non-conference games, as well as the Sioux Falls Skyforce of the G League, the NCAA Division II Elite Eight, and there is some other tournament that is not the Summit League tournament, unfortunately, but it would be cool to have it in a classic venue like the Pentagon.
Okay. I guess it's a different building there in Sioux Falls. So in terms of it being quasi home games for the two South Dakota teams, that's still true, correct?
Didn't they have it in the Pentagon before?
I'm seeing here it's the Denny Sanford Premier Center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, March 3rd through 7th. So,
2021 was in the Pentagon. I just assumed it was there every year. Good stuff.
All right. Sleeka nailing it. Rocco, how about you? Final thoughts?
Yeah, just future conference tonight was the Horizon League, and it's a fun league, obviously. You know, historically a little disappointing that they've fallen down into, you know, the lower conferences of D1, but back up to 21 this year per KenPom, which is a big improvement. I think last year they were 26th or 27th overall. One of the big stories we hit on earlier was the Youngstown State Penguins. I just want to go a little deeper on the Penguins quickly. Jared Calhoun is a coach who is willing to kind of throw away his traditional style, right around 500 for his career. First year was terrible, 2018, 8-24, obviously taking over a really, really nothing and building it up. Got them over 500 for three straight years and now really excelling at 15-6. And what the Penguins run is a NBA-style offense, five out. You know, basically everybody on the floor can shoot. They have all unbelievable marks in, if you look at KenPom's offensive statistics, sixth in three-point shooting, 41st in two-point shooting, 10th in free throw shooting, 8th in not getting rejected, and ball security, a top 30 team. And there's a lot other really positive stats. Very rare for a Horizon League team in this era to be that strong offensively. And they're a lot of fun to watch. They're like watching Buffalo when they had Nate Oates, or even Alabama now with Nate Oates, just without that caliber of talent. But I think it'll be fascinating if they win the league because they could present, I think – yeah, present a lot of challenges to a high major team in the NCAAs.
Good point. It'd be fun. It's just no team called Penguins has ever made the NCAA tournament, as far as I know.
That's right.
Griggs, you want to finish us out?
Yeah, I need the screen share, Chad.
You've got it. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. When you watch as much college basketball and as much under the radar as we do, you have to rely on streaming services. The apps are great, but you only have so many devices that you can use where you can download apps. So what you end up doing is using your desktop, your laptop to watch games. And I don't know if I think you are with me on Chad on this, Chad. I'm getting a little tired of seeing this. Can we do
That's
something
one of my
about
favorite
this?
Games. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, you know, every night, four or five times, the thing just freezes up and, like, you can't watch it.
I'll throw a little story here because I actually started tweeting about this last night. And I got a response from ESPN over Twitter. I'll give you a couple of suggestions that didn't work. They said, call us. And I called. True story. This is not like when we called Mark Everett. I called ESPN customer
support. We
really
did call ESPN.
I was on hold for about half an hour. When I finally got through and explained what was going on and got them to understand what was going on, I was told that the problem was with my VPN. Now, I said, what is a VPN? Because I really didn't know. There's people out there that know. To which the response was, click, and I was hung up on. I then researched what a VPN is. I don't have a VPN.
I'm sure
that was not the problem. However, what I've since found out is if you do clear cache, if they have that problem, it seems to clear things up with that problem. So that's what I recommend to everybody. Clear your cache, clear your cookies, reload the web page. It might get you through it, but at least for a day. I mean, you have to do that every day, but
a VPN is something you're going to want to use when you're in your hotel room trying to put up bail for Griggs and then logging into your home network.
Exactly. I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org. He's got daily updates to the bracket now there, Rocco, or close to it?
So bracket will be updated every Monday and Friday. And then big board updates should be happening midweek and Saturday mornings before we kick off crazy Saturdays.
Well, check that out at bracketeer.org. Also, over here, we got David Griggs. Check him out nowhere. John Stalica. I don't know where you can check him out. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.